And we're coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike. I've had a busy week so far this week, but so far it has been a productive week. Of course, I haven't really produced anything. Today is the first day back, I guess, as it were, on our broadcasting schedule from all the time off I took last week, the week before last, for camp, for vacation, this and that and the other. I am ready to come back to work. And come back to work I have. I spent most of the day yesterday working on finishing the script for the Watchmen video broadcast, the Comic-Con. I didn't have the script finished, and I had already recorded part two, as you know, or should be informed, last week when, before I left for my Sweetie Pie and I's little second honeymoon. I recorded a Watchmen broadcast, and my daughter tells me the sound is no good. We had trouble last Tuesday with the Pastor Mike Online broadcast. We had to cut it off. I was sick Monday during the broadcast. I had to go home early. And it just seemed like everything that I was doing last week was being frustrated for some reason or another. And so far this week, it's turned out pretty good. And I'm glad to have you online with us. We are going to be talking about some very serious things that are going on right now. If you follow my Twitter account, you'll note that I talked about, we were going to talk about nation against nation. And that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to handle what is going on with the Trayvon Martin situation and ask the question, is there racism still in America? The answer, of course, is yes. Is there racism anywhere else in the world? And the answer absolutely is yes. And I'm going to say some things today. It's probably going to make some people mad. And I'm going to rebuke some people, not by name per se, other than the El Presidente. I'm going to rebuke him by name. But I'm going to give some scriptures of rebuke to some folks and how they have acted, or shall I say reacted, to the George Zimmerman trial and the verdict and the Trayvon Martin shooting and all the protests that are going on. There's a lot of biblical things to say about this. And I will tell you something that should be obvious to everybody. The Bible nowhere tells anybody to be a racist. It doesn't tell us to do that. And I'll get into the scriptures here in a little bit. We're just going to kind of cover the headlines of what's been going on. You've seen, if you pull up the Drudge Report, this is what you see. Let's see here. America gripped by second night of fury over not guilty verdict for neighborhood watchmen who shot black teenager armed only with a bag of Skittles. Protests spread across the country Saturday or Sunday. In his second day of demonstrations in the wake of the sensational not guilty verdict for George Zimmerman after he shot dead unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin. Demonstrations from Florida, where the trial took place, to Atlanta, D.C., and New York remained largely peaceful so far. Though Los Angeles protesters managed to shut down an entire freeway, and thousands of New Yorkers mobbed Times Square and blocked traffic for an hour. Emotional crowds screamed justice for Trayvon and carried signs that likened the struggle of the slain teen and his supporters to that of the original civil rights movement. That is from the dailymail.co.uk. Here is another one. Stevie Wonder boycotting Florida following Zimmerman verdict. I wonder what it would take to get Stevie Wonder to not come to Festus. The singer refuses to perform in the state until his Stand Your Ground law is abolished. In the wake of the George Zimmerman acquittal, the singer said, speaking of Stevie the Wonder, the singer said he would not be performing in the Sunshine State until its Stand Your Ground law is abolished. He also said he would not be performing in any other state that recognizes the law, which some say contributed to Zimmerman's acquittal and the shooting death of Florida teen Trayvon Martin on February 26, 2012. Stevie Wonder said, I decided today that until the Stand Your Ground law is abolished in Florida, I will never perform there again, Wonder said Sunday while performing in Quebec City. As a matter of fact, wherever I find that law exists, I will not perform in that state or in that part of the world. Some have argued that the law played no role in the acquittal. However, the Atlantic's Ta-Nehisi Coates pointed out that it was cited in the jury instructions. Meanwhile, Wonder also called the fan support of his boycott. The truth is that for those of you who've lost in the battle for justice, wherever that fits in any part of the world, we can't bring them back, he said. What we can do is we can let our voices be heard, and we can vote in our various countries throughout the world for change and equality for everybody. That's what I know we can do. Protests have broken out in major U.S. cities, including New York and Los Angeles, since the jury rendered its not guilty verdict last week. Somebody do me a favor, and I don't have this in front of me. If someone could do some research very quickly on what exactly is the Stand Your Ground law that Stevie the Wonder is mentioning in Florida, send that in an email very quickly to me, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, and I will be looking for that. Let me put this back one here. Los Angeles Times, from one street in Sanford, Florida, to the streets of New York and Los Angeles. In a way, part of the outrage had been about public space. Trayvon Martin, 17, carrying a can of iced tea and a bag of Skittles, was walking home when he was shot dead after a struggle with a neighborhood watch volunteer who had viewed him as suspicious. The death shattered those in Sanford, Florida, who knew Martin, but eventually touched strangers who saw a question they would later pose about their sons all over the country. Could a black boy walk home in public without being suspected of a crime? On Sunday, a day after George Zimmerman was found not guilty of murdering Martin in a case that rose to such national import that El Presidente Obama was compelled to remark on the shooting, demonstrators took over public spaces across the country to protest the death of a boy they'd never met. But Martin's name was certainly on their lips, and in contrast with the obscurity from which his death first arose, they brought their cause to some of the most iconic locales in Los Angeles and New York. A Sunday demonstration in Union Square in Lower Manhattan eventually mobilized into a march that pushed past police resistance to reach Times Square about 2 miles away, where tourists gaped at the placard-wielding, chanting demonstrators. The number was rumored to be about more than 1,000. Police wouldn't confirm crowd totals. Some of the chants sounded like echoes of the Occupy Wall Street movement that emerged in Zuccotti Park. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. Except that when the demonstrators formed a human microphone to shout a speaker's words throughout the square, they spoke Martin's name instead of shouting down bankers and hedge funders. Let's see here. The article goes on. The night was at times tense, police shoving reporters and pedestrians, and at times comical, as squadrons of officers in pairs wandered the streets in that muggy heat of New York summer. And so far, and I'm still reading some articles here. Let me check and see if anybody has done their homework on, what did I just mention a while ago? The Stand Your Ground law. Looking for some information on that. Just sitting here waiting for you to show up, all right? There have been a few things as far as protesting goes, and I don't have a problem with people protesting. One of the fears that I have had, one of the fears I remain to have, I don't think this thing is done, I don't think it's over with, if you remember back in the days of the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. Rodney King was captured on videotape, police beating him senseless, and they had a trial for those policemen. They found them not guilty, and the protests turned quickly into a night of raping, murder, looting, burning buildings down, all sorts of chaos and mayhem. One guy in particular, I think is Reginald Denny, I think that was his name, if you remember, was in the wrong place at the wrong time, had nothing to do with it. They stopped his truck, grabbed him out of the vehicle, beat him practically into a coma for no other reason other than apparently he was there and he was white and they were angry and on and on and on and on. And he had done nothing wrong. And so my fear, and I told Sweetie Pie this Saturday night when the verdict came in, I said, get ready. And the reason why I'm saying that I had a fear of violent protest is not because I think blacks are violent. It has everything to do with what some of the rap artists, what some of the big names in Hollywood and so on were tweeting, were telling that was going to happen. We're going to burn your blankety blank and blankety blank blank blank. That's what we're going to do. And you hear rumors about people saying there's going to be payback, there's going to be this, there's going to be... So it leads people to believe that maybe something bad is going to happen in this world. Somebody's sending me an email now. Hopefully it is information that I can use. The Stand Your Ground laws, let's see here. Stand Your Ground laws are essentially revocation of the duty to retreat. Stand Your Ground laws generally state that under certain circumstances, individuals can use force to defend themselves without first attempting to retreat from the danger. The purpose behind these laws is to remove any confusion about when individuals can defend themselves and to eliminate prosecutions of people who legitimately used self-defense even though they had not attempted to retreat from the threat. In many states with Stand Your Ground laws, a claim of self-defense under a Stand Your Ground law offers immunity from prosecution rather than an affirmative defense. This means that rather than presenting a self-defense argument at an assault trial, for example, an individual could claim self-defense under the state Stand Your Ground law and avoid trial altogether. States with Stand Your Ground laws differ on whether the law applies to instances involving lethal force, with some states retaining the duty to retreat when lethal force is involved and others removing the duty to retreat under all circumstances. Stand Your Ground laws are often criticized as encouraging violence. I got something to say about that. Critics claim that the laws lead to a shoot-first, ask-questions-later attitude that results in more injuries and deaths than would occur without the law. Proponents of Stand Your Ground counter that the laws... And then the email gets cut off. But I get the gist of it. Now, let me tell you, and I make no apologies for this whatsoever. I've covered this ground repeatedly. If you will watch the God, Guns, and Liberty video... that we did here, and then the God, Guns, and Liberty conference that we put on here, and with me and Pastor Reg Kelly talking about what's going on in our country and the fact that God, the God in heaven, the God whose Son is Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of all mankind, that God, in His Word, gives me the right and the responsibility to defend myself, my wife, my children, and my property. It gives me the... God gives me that right. We had an interesting visitor here a couple weeks ago, Roy and Bonnie. You know Roy in our church. I tease him quite a bit. Roy is just a simple country boy, and he's got a nephew that is has been and still is a pretty top dog in Washington, D.C. And I won't give you his resume or anything like that, but he came here and visited us, and we had a great conversation, and he said, I watched your God, Guns, and Liberty video, and he said, I like it, except you left one thing out, and that is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, did not give us the right to keep and bear arms. And I said, yeah, I talked about that in the conference. And so he and I, at least on that issue, were on the same page. But it's the idea that the Bill of Rights does not give us the right to keep and bear arms. It assumes in a right way that the right for us to bear arms and keep them on our person is a right not given to us by the state, because if the state giveth, the state taketh away. It is a right given to us by our Creator. It is one of those inalienable rights that God has given to us that man does not have a right to take away. And so what I'm going to say, I will not apologize for. I don't even care if it's to Stevie Wonder. I won't apologize to him. He's all worked up over a Stand Your Ground loan. Now, from what I'm reading here, the Stand Your Ground, I don't know if that's exactly what's in Missouri. I know in Missouri we have what's called the Castle Doctrine. In other words, a man's home is his castle. And I have an absolute right to defend my castle, which would include my vehicle if I'm in my car and I feel that I'm being threatened by someone, either in another vehicle or someone outside of my car. I'm in a parking lot or at a stoplight. Someone is approaching my vehicle with a baseball bat or a gun or a knife or something like that. I have an absolute right to defend my own life, my family, my property, and so on. That is biblical. I won't argue about it. It's in the Bible. You want to be liberal, you want to be this or that and the other, you just be my guest, but you're doing it in contradiction to what the Scriptures say. I don't see a problem with the Stand Your Ground law, with the law itself. Now, I don't know how it was used and interpreted in the George Zimmerman trial. Don't care. I don't have a problem with the law. And the law basically says that if you are in the state of Missouri, I have a legal right, I have a license to carry a concealed weapon. I have it right now. And if I was out with my wife, or we were walking around and doing shopping or whatever it was, and I felt like my life or my wife's safety or my children's safety or whatever was being threatened, if someone came up holding a knife and said, "Hand me your wallet, I'm going to shoot you. That's what I'm going to do." I have a right, I have a license, I have a right given by God, but I have a responsibility given by God. So I don't know what Stevie's all worked up about. He doesn't like the outcome of this verdict, so he hates the law. And what does this particular law have to do with anything with racism? It's not a racist law. In Jefferson County, Missouri, where we live, there is a majority of white Caucasian people in this county. Now, you go up to St. Louis County, it's different. But in Jefferson County, which is just south, and Jefferson County is fastly becoming a very suburban county. But we are a majority of Caucasian people. And I don't worry about black-on-white crime in Jefferson County. What I worry about is white-on-white crime in Jefferson County. And so, to me, it doesn't mount to a hill of beans. Whether it's white or black or Hispanic or what, I don't care. If I'm in this county and I'm running around and I'm being threatened by someone who I feel is going to cause me imminent harm, the law says I don't have to try to run away. If I am able to defend myself, I can defend myself. So I think the law is good. I don't have a problem with the law. I don't know what Stevie's problem with it is. But apparently he is saying that the law is a racist law and he won't have any part of it. So I wonder if that's in the state of Missouri. An article from CBS KCAL Channel 9. A CBS KCAL Channel 9 photographer and reporter were assaulted Monday night while covering a George Zimmerman protest. While covering the disturbances in the Crenshaw District Monday night, a news crew was assaulted by a lone assailant, according to a statement issued by the news company. Reporter Dave Bryan was conducting an interview around 10 p.m. when the suspect tackled him and his photographer, the station confirmed. The suspect then ran away. The crew was treated for minor injuries, the station said. The attack was under investigation by the Los Angeles Police Department. 14 people were arrested during Monday night's protest. Let's see, what else is going on here? A man who says he was jogging alongside of a road when and I'm just reading the article, and the reason why I'm trying to be careful with everything is somebody sent me an email. They wanted me to know that it was, here it is, and they were yelling at me in the email. You always tell because they write in all capital letters. This is from Brent Evans, brent.evans53@yahoo.com. Brent.evans53@yahoo.com says, "Hey, racist! I bet you're rejoicing over that Martin boy that got shot and killed." He's yelling because he's writing in all capital letters. "Racist like you and your rebel fag flag, you're not on God's side. You're a Hitler preaching a false gospel." That is, as I say, from Brent.evans53@yahoo.com. Calling me a racist. And betting, now I'm wondering how much money he actually put down on this. If he's actually betting that I'm rejoicing over that Martin boy getting shot, you lost the bet. Sorry, you lost the bet. Now, here's what's funny. Racist like you. That's stereotyping. Racist like you. That's like me looking at a Polish person. Kozowski. "Hey, Mr. Kozowski, you want to hear a good Polak joke? Because all you Polaks are alike. How many Polaks does it take to screw in a light bulb?" That'd be like me saying that Mr. Kozowski cannot screw in a light bulb without help because he's Polish. You are not on God's side. You are a Hitler preaching a false gospel. Brent.evans53@yahoo.com, you're wrong. So this is why I'm being a little careful in what I'm saying, because people like Brent.evans53@yahoo.com are probably listening. Anyway, a man who says he was jogging alongside of a road when three black men abducted and beat him claims the alleged attack was in retaliation for George Zimmerman's acquittal, police in Senatobia, Mississippi told Fox News. Let's see here. Part of this article is, I can't read my own. It's bad when you can't read your own writing. I can't read my own printing. Something got messed up in the printing part of it. Anyway, he claims that that the alleged attack was in retaliation for George Zimmerman's acquittal. Police told Fox News. He said he was jogging Sunday night along Highway 51, and the suspects pulled over and one of them asked, "Do you know who Trayvon Martin was?" Holtz quoted the man as saying, "At that point, the men in the vehicle allegedly attacked him." The man who the police chief described as a young resident of the area was treated Sunday night for minor injuries. Memphis television station WERG reported the assailants allegedly told the victim, "This is for Trayvon." The television station and the Democrat newspaper reported the jogger was badly beaten, later dropped off on a road between Senatobia and Coldwater, Mississippi. Holtz declined to release any other information but said officers are searching for three black males in a white four-door vehicle. "We want to find out why this happened," the chief said, also while also cautioning local residents to, quote, be safe. Let's see here. What else? Zimmerman verdict. Protesters storm Walmart in Crenshaw area. This is from the Los Angeles Times. People protesting George Zimmerman's acquittal marched along Crenshaw Boulevard on Monday night, stomping on cars, chasing bystanders, and storming a Walmart. What does Walmart have to do with anything? Several protesters made their way into the Walmart as guards scrambled to close security gates. A short while later, Los Angeles Police Department officers wearing helmets and carrying batons swarmed the store as others marched to the parking lot. The LAPD declared a tactical alert about 9 p.m., which means that off-duty officers can be held on duty when their shifts end and may respond only to high-priority calls. The LAPD arrested at least one person, but vowed to take more into custody if the lawless actions continued. We want to support everyone's First Amendment right to protest, but we also want to ensure public safety and not allow people to commit violent acts, Commander Andy Smith told the Times. Police estimated that 80 to 150 people were engaged in lawless activity along Crenshaw as they jumped on top of vehicles and appeared to assault bystanders. Some protesters ignited fireworks in the middle of Crenshaw. Zimmerman, 29, was acquitted. You all know that story. The verdict, blah, blah, blah. On Monday evening, dozens of protesters gathered in Leimert Park for a vigil in support of Trayvon. As James Brown music played, some danced, and others wore shirts that read, "Justice for Trayvon Martin." One man held up another shirt that vowed Zimmerman with the words, that showed Zimmerman with the words, "Wanted dead or alive," with the last word crossed out. Now, I want to ask a question. Who hates who? The group broke up as marchers moved along Crenshaw Boulevard chanting, "No justice, no peace." Let's see. What else? Protest, protest, protest. See if there's anything newly come up on Drudge Report. And I've got a lot to say about this. One of the lead articles is that, let me pull this one up here. Last night, Trayvon Martin's friend, Rachel Jeantel, gave CNN her first interview since testifying in the George Zimmerman murder trial. Jeantel opened up and let loose on the murder case that gripped that nation. She explained to CNN's Piers Morgan how she warned her childhood friend that Zimmerman, this is her words, could be a gay rapist. Morgan.
You felt that there was no doubt in your mind that from what Trayvon was telling you on the phone about the creepy blankety-blank cracker and so on, that he absolutely believed that George Zimmerman, this man you didn't know who was at the time, but this man was pursuing him. Jeantel.
Yes.
Morgan. And he was freaked out by it.
Jeantel. Yes. Definitely after I say maybe a rapist for every boy, for every man, every... who's not that kind of way, seeing a grown man following them, would they be creeped out? She continued. And people need to understand he didn't want that creepy blank cracker. I don't know what a cracker is. Going to his father or girlfriend's house to go get, mind you, his little brother was there. You know, now, mind you, I told Trayvon it might have been a rapist. So now they're accusing, and this is what they're saying, they're accusing George Zimmerman of being a rapist. I got something to say about that, too. Here's another one. Baltimore Sun. Witness claims youth yelled, "This is for Trayvon," and beating. Baltimore police said they're investigating a witness account that a group of black youths beat a Hispanic man near Patterson Park Sunday while saying, "This is for Trayvon." Witness posted the account on a community Facebook page, and police confirmed that they are looking into whether the suspect's reaction to the verdict in the Florida trial of George Zimmerman played a part in the incident. A police report on the meeting does not mention the alleged comments. Now, here's some things, and I'm gonna try to tie some. This is just the news that's going on, and I did get another email from someone. Said, "Pastor Mike, I'm a young black woman who goes to college. I'm a King James Bible Christian. My concerns is while most wild Christian people are so much against the young black kid that was shot, I'm not saying all white people are bigots. I'm just in shock how young black men can still get killed and the killer get away with it with the love of a lot of whites." And this is from a young lady. Identifies herself as a young black woman going to college. She believes the King James Bible. Now, let me start putting everything, as we do here on the Pastor Mike Online and Watchman Broadcast and Bethel Church and everything else, let me start putting some things in biblical perspective. Biblical perspective.
people are asking me what I think about the George Zimmerman case. What do I think about the Trayvon Martin shooting? What do I think about the verdict? And I'll be honest with you, there's probably some people just asking me just to set me up, like Brent.Evans53@yahoo.com. Okay? He is just provoking is all he's doing. That's what he's doing. That would be Brent.Evans53@yahoo.com. He's just trying to provoke me. Now, I have addressed my personal views before. I have had to deal with this issue in my life. I was born in the South, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. But I've lived in Missouri most of my life. In fact, since probably about 3 or 4 years old. So I am a native Missourian with Midwestern values. Missouri tends to be neither north nor south. It is just here is what it is. My daughter, Alicia, fell in love with a young man from Nairobi, Kenya. I would be misleading you if I said, I've always wanted that. I would be misleading that. I would be telling everybody a lie if I said that instantaneously this, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. After we got to know him, after God brought some things about, God made me love this young man and my wife too. And we do. We love him dearly. I consider him my friend, my son-in-law. It was through him that God has led us to minister in Kenya, and now we are broadcasting a 24-hour FM radio station in western Kenya, sort of Central Africa. You want to accuse me of being a racist? You're going to have to dig up evidence. Is what you're going to have to do. My oldest daughter married a young man from Pine Bluff, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. That's down in the boot heel. The reason why we call it that, if you ever look at the map of Missouri, we have a heel of a boot in the southeastern part of Missouri. He is as redneck as they come. He can skin a rabbit better than I can. He rabbit hunts, fishes, deer hunts. He can handle a gun and a knife better than I can. He is 100% country boy. And he's black. I don't see him as being some foreign threat to my family. He's my son-in-law. We are friends. We hunt together. We do things together. I love him dearly. My daughters, they have given me two grandchildren, three so far. Adeline, who is Antonio and Lindsay's daughter, is in heaven right now. And I miss her every day. I miss that girl. And now Lindsay's going to have another one. We accept people into this church. I don't care who they are, what color they are. It doesn't matter to me. So if you want to accuse me of being a racist, you're going to have to dig up better evidence than just saying, you're racist. You're going to have to do better than that. Now I'm going to say this to those of you who are both black, white, Hispanic, German, Chinese, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say to everybody. In fact, I'm going to read scripture to you. And if you don't like what the Bible says, you're just going to have to not like God, because the Bible is the Word of God. In Paul's instructions to the Thessalonian church, right after, now mind you, right after Paul is teaching us that great doctrine on the translation of the church, being caught up together with him in the clouds, he then gives instructions to God's people on how they are to maintain their character. And this is what Paul said. This is what should be the character of the church. And I'm saying this because it does seem like white Christians, and I'm talking to all y'all, King James Bible believers, it seems that white Christians are assuming that George Zimmerman is not guilty and that Trayvon Martin, even though he actually didn't have a weapon in his hand, was wrong or a thug of some kind. And I know there's some mitigating circumstances that feed into that. And there are also blacks who are and King James Bible believers who are very worked up over the fact that a young black man got shot and killed by who they perceive as a white man. Here's the problem with everybody dividing off now and saying, well, I think George is right, I think Trayvon, I think this and I think that. Here's the problem with you doing that. You weren't there. You weren't there. You were not in that little neighborhood, that apartment complex, or wherever it was. You weren't there. You didn't see it happen. You didn't know the people that it happened to. You also were not part of the jury who sat and heard, what, 2.5 some odd weeks of testimony? You weren't the jury. You weren't the prosecutor. You weren't his defense attorney. The fact is, you were not there. You didn't hear everything. But what you've done, you have already made a judgment about who was right and who was wrong. Now, since we don't know all the facts, and I will say, there is a definite spirit in this country that is trying to destroy and provoke people in this country. And I'm going to deal with that here in a little bit. NBC is being sued by George Zimmerman's lawyers for defamation of character because I think it's NBC. They took the 911 call, and if you remember, I dealt with this. They took the 911 call and aired it after they cut out pieces of it. They aired George Zimmerman on the 911 call saying, he looks suspicious, he looks black. And that's what they tried to paint immediately, George Zimmerman as some racist profiler. Maybe he was, but that's not what he said. That's not everything that he said. The true content of the 911 call was the 911 operator was asking him, George Zimmerman, to identify the person because he was making a 911 call. I need the police out here to check this guy out. And they asked him, is he white? Is he black? Is he Hispanic? To which Zimmerman replied, I think he's black. And so NBC is trying to provoke people to think the wrong thing about this 911 call. They tried to make it look like Zimmerman was saying, we got a black guy in your neighborhood. I think he's up to something. That's what they tried to portray him as. But according to the 911 tape, that's not what happened. And Zimmerman's lawyers are suing NBC, and they're probably going to win. Because they have a case. Now, does that mean that I think George Zimmerman was 100% innocent in this situation? I have no clue whether George Zimmerman did anything wrong or not. I don't have a clue on what happened. Does that mean that I believe that Trayvon Martin was a punk thug, hoodie-wearing black youth, and we all know that they all kill white people? Do I believe that? No. Do I know who Trayvon Martin was? No. So here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to all my white brethren. We have absolutely no right to judge Trayvon Martin, because we didn't know him. We didn't know him. We didn't know what he was doing. We don't know anything about him other than what we've let other people tell us, and I don't trust it. I don't trust you. who are the first ones to jump up and say, don't trust the media. All that you know about Trayvon Martin came from where? The media. And you trusted it. Now, I'm also going to say to all my black brothers and sisters, I love you dearly. Not anything I hate about you. You don't have to automatically assume that George Zimmerman did something wrong. Now, he may have. I don't know. But see, here's what we're doing. We're doing this on Facebook, and we're doing it face-to-face, and now we're doing it in cities across America. Now we're beating one another up, either verbally or physically, because we've made a judgment on something that we don't have any knowledge of. And we, to be honest with you, it wasn't our place. They didn't ask us to be on the jury. They didn't ask us to sit in the courtroom and with a gavel in our hand and judge this thing. Here's Paul's commandments to the church on their behavior. He said, now we exhort, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That means you warn those that don't follow the rules. We have a group called Watchman Community. And it's a sort of a private group, although it's not some secret society. But it's sort of like a watchman, those who follow our ministry, where they can go and meet together online, sort of like a Facebook for them. Those who don't really like Facebook, they can go and meet there. And we have rules in the Watchman community. And those rules, I mean, they're rather simple. And that Watchman community is sort of treated like our church. You can't join the Watchman community and then start criticizing Pastor Mike. You can't do that. If you want to do it somewhere else, be my guest. I welcome it. But you can't do it inside my church. You can't go inside the Watchman community and start saying, well, Mike Hoggard's a dog. I don't like him. I don't like his preaching. I think he's wrong. You can't do that. We'll throw you out. That's a rule. You can't post stuff using other Bible translations and saying, now, this is a better translation. You can't do that. There is a Facebook community, Mike Hoggard Bethel Church Watchman Group on Facebook. You can ask to join that, and we'll probably let you in. But there are rules. And one of the admins of the group posts the rules every now and then just to remind people, hey, there's rules here. And those rules are, if you want to criticize Pastor Mike, go somewhere else and do it. You can't do it here, because this is like his church. You can't do that. And so or if you're going to post doctrine or get into doctrinal arguments with people that is contrary to things that I teach, you can't do that. Now, you can do it on Facebook, and I don't mind you doing it. Knock yourself out. You just can't do it in my church. And so I warn people, you're being unruly. And that's my job, is to warn you. So when you start getting in your little verbal confrontations with people about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, describe for me the facts that you know that have led you to make the judgment that you've made. Show me those facts, not just what you heard from the mainstream media that you say you don't trust. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. You know what that means? Some people, let's just be honest, are just not as smart as you are. Comfort them. Support the weak. Maybe there's people out there that have... There are people in our church with all kinds of weaknesses. Maybe one of those weaknesses that some people have is familial honor or racial honor. If you say... I mean, you can't even say anything about black people or Italian people or Jewish people, and they get offended. You're supposed to support them. Be patient toward all. I'm reading scripture. Be patient toward all men. And the postings that you've made and the things that you've said in social media and to other people, you're just looking for a fight, Jack.
Come on, let's go.
And our apostle told us to be patient. And then verse 15. Here we go. Here we go. Everybody listen to this now. This is good for all you geese and all you ganders out there. Black and white. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. That's what it says. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. That means don't be mad at me because I'm reading Scripture. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, here's why I brought that in. If you can't prove your opinion of either Trayvon or Zimmerman, then Pastor Mike's going to tell you to do something. I'm going to do it bluntly, but with a kind and loving spirit. I'm going to tell you to sit down and keep your mouth shut. Sit down, shut up. Because all you're doing is feeding an agenda. It's an agenda that I know about. I've been trying to warn people about. I've been trying to tell people this is coming. All you're doing is fueling the fire of an agenda. So your pastor, with as much love and grace as I can put into it, is going to tell you, sit down, shut up. Unless you can prove what you believe about either Trayvon or Zimmerman, keep your mouth shut. James was right. The tongue is probably the most unruly member that we have. And we just, admittedly, have a real problem keeping our mouth shut. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul be and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. That was our apostle. You know what who he is? He is in authority over us. So if you don't like me, and you don't say, well, you're not my pastor. Your apostle told you to sit down and keep your mouth shut. Anything else that you do is in violation of Scripture, and you are unruly. And I mean, you all know what God does to unruly children. Matthew 7:1. Here we go. Judge not that you be not judged. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, this is an open criticism of President Hussein. You remember right into his presidency, there was a situation where there was a black university professor that went nuts at his home. And the police arrested him and took him down to the jailhouse. So the news broke, you know, the mainstream media broke the story. Police, white police, arrested college university professor, Dr. So-and-so, black. So president comes out, obviously somebody acted stupidly in the police department. They arrested a black professor. Well, then the story comes out, the real story. This guy, the police had had oodles of patience with this guy, and he went nuts on them, and he was disobeying lawful commands from those who are supposed to be keeping order and peace. He was disobeying lawful commands, and they finally got tired of it, and they arrested him. And Obama had to have a beer with the guys and halfway apologize about it. Now he comes out, and he's defending Trayvon Martin. If I had a son, he would look like Trayvon. And he's telling everybody to wear hoodies now. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And I say this openly, with no apology whatsoever, our president has done nothing to keep the racial friction from heating up. He's thrown gasoline onto it. He's an angry, angry man for some reason. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. As soon as we heard about it on the news, you already decided in your mind who was right and who was wrong. Our whole system of laws and criminal justice is actually based upon this verse, that a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And it says, therefore judge nothing before the time. And so this has been a year boiling in everybody, and boiling in black and white Christians, boiling in them, who had already determined if they were white, George Zimmerman was innocent, he had a reason to shoot this kid, and if you were black, Trayvon was doing nothing wrong, he had Skittles and iced tea, and this white cracker, whatever that is, this white cracker, looking for a black hoodie-wearing thug, shot him for no reason. You'd already decided that. You already decided that it was racism, pure and simple. And we're told in the Scriptures, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And there is even some, where is this? Where is this article? There are some who have assumed before the verdict ever came out that the fix was in, and I can't find it now. Trayvon Martin's dad was in the lodge. And so there's people talking, the fix is in. Trayvon Martin's dad's a Freemason. They're gonna run right over Zimmerman because he's a Mason. Didn't happen. Trayvon Martin's dad, being a Mason, apparently had no bearing on the case whatsoever. May have had something to do with the fact that the judge is a woman and all the jurors were women, which they can't be Masons. So what you've done is that you've judged and you've cast judgment, whether you're black or white, you've cast judgment upon two people that you had no right judging. You have no right or interest in this whatsoever. It's like you thinking, well, I'm going to sue George Zimmerman now. I'm going to sue him. You know you can't. You know why? You have no interest. There's no cause of action. He hasn't done anything to you. And so, but you've judged him, you've judged Trayvon, over what the mainstream media told you to believe. Over what somebody on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, what somebody told you to believe, what your family members, because your family members are all white or your family members are all black, they told you, you got to be on our side. And we forgot that you and I, as King James Bible believers, we're not supposed to be on their side at all. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters. in one faith, in one baptism, in one spirit. And it's kind of like the hurt that I experienced over being lashed out against by guys that said they were King James Bible believers. And they were lashing out against me over whatever. And my thought was, I thought we were supposed to be on the same side. I thought we were supposed to be brothers because we all believe the same book. And so now, you got whites and blacks who before all this liked each other. And let me tell you what you did. You let the world dictate to you your morality and your character and what you did. You let the world, you let the devil do it. You're playing right into his hand, people. You let it happen. And you're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to love one another and care about one another. Revelation chapter 7. My idea of a cracker is this. I don't know what a cracker is. Revelation chapter 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. You know what that means? This is my 2 cents worth of Greek. My 2 cents worth of Greek is, I just happen to know the Greek word here. And I'm not saying the King James is improperly translated. The word nations, that's what it means. Okay? The word nation is based upon the word nativity, native. And it literally means where you came from or of what group you are. It means, the Greek word is ethnos, ethnicity, ethnic background. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds. That means kinfolk, family lines, kinds, and people, and Españolas, and Sprechens of Deutsches, and whatever, all the languages, all the tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne and on their faces, and worshiped God. In verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. See, that's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be getting ready for. But we haven't done that. We decided to jump on racial lines and assume that Trayvon was wrong or that Zimmerman was wrong based upon our ethnicity and our kindred and our nations, disregarding the scriptures. Now, Matthew 24, warns us about this very thing. Matthew 24:7. I see this very clearly. This is in advance of a fulfillment of prophecy. And there is something, I am openly critical of this president who has done nothing to heal the racial damage done in this country. He's done nothing to heal it. He has done everything to further it and to make it worse. Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Nation, this ethnic group, shall rise against this ethnic group. And this kingdom against this kingdom. That's Matthew 24:7. Matthew 13:8. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Luke 21:10. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Let me remind you of something here. Let me pull this up. Remember our arch nemesis, Baphomet. Some of you probably already know where I'm going with this. Did a video, Watchman video, several years ago, recorded it down in Harrison, Arkansas, called Baphomet, the God of Transformation. This nation has to be fundamentally transformed in order for it to be in the likeness of something that can be used in the New World Order. We've had presidents talk about that, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Tricky Bill, or what they call him, Slick Willie. A new world order. You cannot have a new world order right now. Henry Kissinger talked about it. And he talked about it in the context of the demise of the banking system in this country. This is a perfect opportunity to bring a new world order. Why? Because the economy was going to crash and it was going to be destroyed. And here's our opportunity now to rebuild what we couldn't touch before, what we couldn't bring down, now we can do it. It's just like two buildings in Lower Manhattan, and a guy wants to build a new Masonic New World Order emblem dedicated to the Illuminati, but he can't do it because he's got these two buildings in the way. So the two buildings come down. Now we can build this thing. And that's what Baphomet represents. He represents the God of, and you've heard of this, the Hegelian dialect. Friedrich Hegel said, here's how you get stuff done. You want to get stuff done, here's how you get it done. If you want a certain way you want to go, here's what you do. You take this guy over here, and you put him against this guy over here, and you just stand back and let him fight. Did you see the movie The Sum of All Fears? It's about a nuclear bomb going off. And America was going to blame it on Russia, and Russia was going to retaliate. And really, it was the guy wearing a swastika, running a little cabal in Europe, saying, all we have to do, we don't have to defeat Russia and America. All we have to do is stand back and get it started and let Russia and America defeat themselves. And so here's all the enemies of our country, including the devil himself, looking at America. The nation that was built upon the King James Bible, saying, I don't have to destroy America. I'll let America destroy itself. Tried it during the Civil War. We're probably closer than we want to admit to another one. Nation against nation. Now we're going to have a new nation because we destroyed the old one. Here's what his tats say. Baphomet loves tattoos. So Baphomet went down to the tattoo shop and got himself tattooed against what God said. And he wrote, Salve, and Coagula. This is the alchemical formula for the transformation of the United States of America. And I say alchemical because alchemy is all about turning lead into gold. It's about turning humans into gods. It's about transforming a nation that used to be under God and under the Bible, and now turning it into a nation where the devil sits on the throne. And in order to do that, you have to perform a little alchemy. You have to perform a little magic. You have to use things that will dissolve the old order. Then you can rebuild it. And you played along. Well, I think Zimmerman was innocent. I think he was innocent. I think everybody, all these blacks in the streets protesting, I think they're... Paul said, sit down, keep your mouth shut. You weren't there. You weren't at the trial. No one sat you on the bench, and you weren't sitting in the jury room. So it's best to just sit down, keep your mouth shut. Now, over issues that are legitimate, things that we can know and prove from Scripture, we talk about. And I don't back down from them. But don't ask me if I think Zimmerman or Trayvon was innocent or guilty. I don't know. It's not my place to judge that one, because I don't know the facts. Let's read some emails. Let's see if I provoked anybody here. Let's see here. Ricky says, preach, 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 Mike Blacks. No, I'm not reading that one. Liz says, Pastor, it grieves my heart to hear you say our justice system is based on biblical principles. Why? Why does that grieve you? Yes and no. Well, it's... Anyway. The no part comes from the justice. Lady Justice never shown a blind eye or fair judgment for our black brothers and sisters. Blacks are more likely than others, races, to be convicted of crimes, regardless if evidence says otherwise. I didn't say it was perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect earthly government. But it's the one we have, and our laws, and I don't know how you're thinking, but our laws in this country at one time were based upon biblical law. There used to be adultery laws and sodomy laws, laws that deal with stealing and retribution and things like that, based upon the Bible. The concepts that all men were created equal from the Bible. So I'm sorry if that grieves your heart, and I don't know why you're wanting to accuse me. But the idea is, what I said was, that our laws are based upon the Scripture. And I didn't say that the administration of those laws is ever perfect, because we know that it's not. And I have already mentioned, not in this broadcast, but in another, that there has been a time when... I mean, I've read the book To Kill a Mockingbird. I read the book, watched the movie. I get it. But has it not? I won't even say that. I'm stand by what I said. Our laws are based upon the Word of God and biblical principles. Because some lawyer or some judge chooses not to follow the law in a verdict, that is neither the problem of me nor is the problem of the Word of God. It is a problem in this country, but it's not the law's fault. The written laws in this country, now that we've gotten rid of the Jim Crow laws, now that we've gotten rid of the idea that blacks cannot vote, they're not equal, Now that we have eliminated that out of our country, as far as what I can see, the law, the written laws, are equal to every human being. They may not be administered right, but that's not my fault. That's not the Bible's fault. That's not the law's fault. You made a statement here. Blacks are more likely than other races to be convicted of crimes regardless of evidence says otherwise. Prove it. Prove it. Prove all things is what I'm asking you to prove it. Show me the cases. Show me the numbers. And I don't want them from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're skewed. But you make statements like that, you have to prove it. Or that's just an opinion that you came up with. Holy cow. Fred, you're the guy I've been preaching to the last hour and a half. If this is legitimate, if this is a joke, you're an idiot. If this is real, Fred, you're an idiot. Good boy, Mike. Tell them coloreds how they be. I'm so sick of coloreds always crying racism. I know from hearing you, from hearing you that you are on the white man's side. I'm with the Neo-Confederate group, and we don't hate blacks, but feel whites are God's chosen people. You're an idiot. Fred, you're an idiot. There's something wrong with you. You're ignorant is what you are. Fred, don't write me anymore. Don't give me your version of encouragement, because I don't want it. I want nothing to do with you. Anyway. Joseph says, those who really care about what happened to Trayvon Martin and love him would not go around cursing and rioting, but respond in a positive, loving, and responsible manner. Why be ugly and add more ugly to a bad situation? If you really love and care about Trayvon, then honor him and his family by choosing to be at peace. Pray and leave this situation in the hands of the Lord. This is how you love and honor Trayvon. I agree with that. Jack wants to know, hey, Pastor, how would you feel if George followed and killed a white person? I'm not trying to start anything, just wondering. I cannot fathom your question, Jack. I have no idea what you're talking about. And it is totally, totally irrelevant how I feel about something. My feelings, and I've said this a dozen times before, the older I get, the less I trust my feelings. The only thing that I trust is the written word of God, nothing else. So, Jack, I don't know why you would ask that, but my feelings, and by the way, your feelings, are irrelevant to the truth and to how we are supposed to be as Bible-believing Christians. You say you're not trying to start something. Questions like that start stuff. Chris. Hey, hypocrite, you listen to all the bad stuff the media says about Obama, don't you? You tell me, Chris, tell me one thing that I read that is wrong. That was wrong. You tell me, you show me one thing that I said about Barack Hussein Obama that was wrong. Lisa. I once had a pastor tell me that all people carry around two buckets, one full of water and one full of gasoline. Our media has been great about spreading, fueling the fire of racism. I think I'd agree with that. Joe, Is the media trying to cause civil unrest to bring in martial law? Now you're getting it. Kane says, okay, Pastor, I see you are a racist man. I don't get it. Is it because I'm not taking Trayvon Martin's side? Is that why I'm a racist? I want to ask you a question, Kane. In order for me to be not a racist, do I have to go along with Trayvon Martin's side, whether he was right or wrong? Do I have to do that in order for me to not be a racist? I've just spent an hour and 20 minutes trying to show you from the Bible that it's neither your place nor my place to judge either one of them. And all you heard from me was, you cracker, you racist. That's all you heard from me. I don't understand you. And if that's your thinking, then you're not thinking in spiritual terms the way the Bible tells you to think. You're not. You're thinking in terms of racism. I'd ask you a question. Is it possible for a black person to be a racist? Is it possible for a Jewish person to be a racist? Anybody can be. Anybody can be a racist. A racist as far as the idea that I am superior to someone because I'm of a certain race. Now, let me just say this, and this is probably going to make some people mad too. But I've got scripture. If you don't like it, too bad. In Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, God divided the nations. That is clear. Not because he felt that one was superior than another. There is nothing wrong. It's done in the white community. It's done in the Jewish community. It's done in the black community. It's done in the Polish community. It's done in the Italian community. It's done in the Chinese. If you go to San Francisco, there's a Chinatown. Why? They feel comfortable with people of their own kind. That's normal. In Chicago, there's a Polish area. It's like most of Chicago. Why? They feel comfortable. When people got off boats in New York Harbor, when Italians got off boats in New York Harbor, where did they go? They went to Italian neighborhoods because they could speak the language, they could get help, they probably had family there, and they felt comfortable being around people of their own kind. There is nothing wrong with that. Not one thing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with how a lot of black churches do their worship service. I've been to Africa. How they do it over there, they're pretty jolly. Okay? They're pretty jolly. I enjoyed it. We went to a front yard church out in the country in western Kenya. Sat out in these people's front yard and had church. And there was a man there that had a big drum hung over his neck. And he was playing it, and he was good. While they were singing their songs in worship to God, he gave me the drum. I played it a little bit. I was kind of proud of myself. I looked at him. How am I doing? He went, I didn't have it. So I come back home and I sit down and I play the piano. Matthew plays the banjo. Big deal. There's nothing wrong with us being more comfortable around people of our own kind. That does not make anybody a racist. It's okay if those of you in the black community look at white people and say, I don't like their food. It's okay. It's okay if you are with Jews and they sit down and they eat this and you say, I don't like their food. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not racism. Racism, in its purest form, is what... Let's see. Who was a racist? I'm trying to think. Charles Darwin was a racist. Madame Blavatsky was a racist. Let's see here. Margaret Sanger, the lady who invented Planned Parenthood, the hero of Hillary Clinton, she was a racist because she believed that whites were superior to everybody else, so let's build abortion clinics and family planning centers in black neighborhoods so we can kill the babies because they breed too much. That's what she said. She's a racist. I'm not. Lisa. Says, Pastor Mike, I was raised in the South and was always told that white people are called a cracker because it refers to a slave owner who cracks the whip. So, let me ask a question. Is that because I'm white? Does that make me like a slave owner simply because I'm white? Holly writes in and says, your King James Bible is racist like you, Fat Mike. You should follow Rick Warren teachings that blacks and whites should get along. Man. Sam says... Sam Miller, his email address is millerbeer@yahoo.com. I'm not calling you a racist, Mike, but it's strange that you sound like Hannity and Rush when you talk about Obama and blacks. I haven't said any... excuse me, Sam. I've not said a word about blacks. Not a word. I have not said anything. Anything. On this broadcast or any other about any black people... and the fact that they're black, and that blacks are this, and blacks are that. Get your facts straight, Miller Beer. Nor have I ever said anything about Barack Hussein Obama and his inefficiency at being president because he's black. Never have. This is my whole point in this whole broadcast, is that there are people who are judging other people unjustly, unjustifiably. And so they judge Trayvon as being guilty, and it's unjustified because they don't know. They're judging Trayvon as being innocent, and that also is just unjustified. We don't know. But we would assume that he's innocent and Zimmerman's innocent because that's what our God tells us to do. And you are lobbying these attacks against me and calling me a racist and saying that I sound like Hannity and Rush. That means that you have taken me and put me into their perceived ideas. When the fact is, it's not true. You just did what God told us not to do, but you feel good about yourself. Mike says, hey, Hoggy, hope your black kid goes in a white area of town and gets hunted down and shot. The Father in Heaven. There is a very, very bad spirit in this country. And Lord, this person here crossed the line. And Lord, there's a lot of hatred on this man's voice. I don't know who he is. But Lord, him and all of these others that have said these things, Father, would you forgive them and help me to forgive them? You came and died so that all men would be free. And while the world and all they want to do is hate one another, you love your creation. And you died for me, and you died for Trayvon, and you died for Zimmerman. And Lord, you know that if you were sitting here ruling over this earth, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us to forgive those who say all manner of evil against us falsely. Because, Lord, you've forgiven me of a lot worse. Lord, I pray, dear God, for a different spirit in this country before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Mike, I love you. Sean says, haha, I knew it. Here you go. You are mad when the white guy gets beat up for no reason. But don't give a blank about a black kid. You are a racist. Sean, I forgive you. Willie says, hey, you are subliminally trying to stir up us. You're subliminally trying to stir up us white people by saying cracker over and over. You are no different than people on Fox. Debbie says, so many watching your broadcast with reprobate minds. So sad to my spirit. May God be with you, Mike, his protection and blessing on you and yours. Thank you for that, Debbie. Juanita says, hey, all you haters out there, leave Pastor Mike alone. God bless you, Pastor Mike. Appreciate that. Joanne says, hey, I say protest the news media who fueled this whole story by lying. You got it right, Joanne. Anyway. It's good to be with you today. We'll let God have it, okay? And obviously some people that probably, I don't know, don't normally listen in or whatever, they're listening in. And I want you to know that I love you. You probably don't care about me, but I love you and I want you to know the truth. I want you to know God's truth, not mine. Not Obama's, not anybody else's, but God's word is absolutely true. Those of you who said things about me, that's nothing. Okay? It's nothing because I am nobody. But to those of you who said something about God's word, you're not going to have to stand in front of me and answer to that. You're going to have to stand in front of the word and answer that. Okay? Anyway, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for Pure Bible Study, Wednesday night Bible study. See you Thursday, Pastor Mike online.